Okay, I usually do. All right, so we're discussing the concept of ISCA, which is like a business transaction, a business contract between two people. One person is the money, one person is the sweat, right? One guy is the silent partner, one guy is the manager, essentially. So Amar Rava. Rava says, "Srichade isko tre shtari pseida d'malva." If we have one business iska and two shtaros, it becomes a loss to the malva, a loss to the lending party. Tre iske, if there are really two businesses, v'chad shtara, and there's one shtar, it becomes a pseida d'lova. It becomes a loss to the lova. It becomes a loss to the sweat partner. So basically, what you have here, again, we have an iska, and in order to avoid, let's say the ISCA is $100, right? It's $100. What we do is, in order to avoid ribbis issues, that's a Ezra Neshach issue, half of the $100, and Rashi describes half the $100, half the $100 becomes a loan, and half of the $100 is a pikadon. So it's 50-50. So technically speaking, if you have a half the loan, half pikadon, and it's a $100 investment, and he invests the money, and it turns into $120 output, so there's a $20 profit, so really it should be that each one gets 10. Right, the loan, what happens with the loan is the loan is fixed means it's a guarantee for the lender that he's going to get that back, and the pikadon, but there's a higher level. The point being, though, if there's an onus, when it does the investment and he loses money, no, that's what happens. As long as he's not negligent, that's what happens. Sometimes you lose money, there's no guarantee. Okay, there's no guarantee. That's how it should be. But we have mentioned before, in order to avoid ribbis issues, right? Rashi says right away in Les Rashi, "Chad iska trei shtari pseida d'malva, mishum stam iska tilsa ba'agar lebalabayis upalga behevsein." What ends up happening is what we do in order to avoid ribbis issues is that when it comes to any loss, the loss is shared 50-50. Losses are 50-50, but any profit is 1/3 to 2/3. The sweat equity guy gets 2/3 of the profit, and the lender gets 1/3. The reason being is you don't want, if it's 50-50, it looks like the guy is working for the loan, and whatever, it looks like a Novak Ribas case. So what ends up happening is we change the percentage of the profits. So 1/3 of the Balabayas, I'm saying, is the lender. He gets 1/3 of the profits, and 2/3 of the profits goes to the worker. So he gets like an extra 16.66%. We say that's his compensation for working, and it becomes compensation. Then it doesn't look like ribbis anymore. But when it comes to the losses, it's 50-50. So what happens over here now, if we have Chad Iska and Shtei Shtari, the idea is that you're supposed to write this all. You have a loan aspect, and because of an aspect, you should write it all into one loan, into one Shtar. Because if you don't, let's say you write the 50 of the Iska is $100, and you write 50 in one document, the loan, and 50 in the Pikadon document. So what happens now if you have the case of, let's say, so if you have the case into two, if you split one ISCA into two loans, the lender, the money guy, is going to lose out money. If you have two ISCAs into one loan, then the worker guy is going to lose money. How does that work? So let's say you gave the guy, okay, I'm the money. Let's say I gave the guy two bundles of clothing, and they are worth a mana, right? So it's $200, basically. Two bundles of clothing, it's worth $100 of ISCA. And I profit from one of them 15 dinarim. I profit $15 off of them. And on the second one, as Rashi will explain, the second one I lose 5. Okay? So if the ISCA was in one shtar, basically you net it out. There's a net profit. There's a net profit of 10, right? There was a net profit of 10. Right, there's a net profit of 10. The balabayas, the money guy, gets a third of that profit, which is $3.3. But let's say if I split the ISCA into two, right? So therefore I have one shtar where the hefsed is $5, right? What happened was one of them I gained 15 and one of them I lost 5. So there's a net of 10. If I have them into two separate shtaros, so one of them is a loss of 5. So I split that loss with you. I've now lost 2.5. Right. The other one gained 10. The other one gained 10. So I only get a third of that, which is... Sorry, the other one gained 15. Five. Right, so a third of that is 5. So my net profit is only 2.5. Whereas if I had it all into one star, my net profit was 3.3 something. So I've lost out by splitting it. And the same thing goes the other way around. If I go the other way around, we have trei iske v'chad shtarup say the lova. If I have two iska and one star. So two iska should be into two separate staros. But here I did. I put the trei iska into one star. So what happens here? Again, so I think if again, so it's 100. I say it's 100 and 100. I figure this out again. So there's 100 and 100. Why not? Oh, I left my paper at home. Okay. So you have 100 and 100. So what? One of them gains. One of them gains. One of them loses. So let's say that before one iska, one gained 15, one gained 5. So if I had them all, if I had them in the separate staros. So the worker had separate staros. So one gained, one lost 5. So I lost 2.5, and he lost 2.5, and then I gained 15, and I gained 15. So I would get 2/3 of that, which is whatever. It's the math of 2/3 of the 15, which is 10, and I would lose 5. And I would gain 10. So therefore, in total, I would lose 7. I would gain 7.5. But if I put them all into one iska, so then I got to net it out. So I lost 5, gained 15. The gain is only 10. I'm only gaining 2/3 of that. I'm gaining a little less than I would have gained otherwise. So therefore, if you have two iskas, keep them separate. If you have one, right? If you have one iska, don't put them together. That basically what Rav is telling you is that Eitzah Tovah for everybody, if you don't play the odds, if you want to avoid playing the odds, just write every iska in its own document. Don't split the Pekadon part and the Havalah part, and don't, when you have two iskas, don't write it into one document. Write it into two separate documents. Otherwise, you're playing the odds. Okay. V'amar Rava. Rava is continuing about the halachas of iska, again, this business partnership. Haman de kabel iska min chavre. One guy, right, you have an iska with your friend. So I'm the worker guy, and I'm losing money now. I'm losing. Tarach umalye v'lo odie. Then he continues, I guess, he continues to work until he breaks even. But he never tells the money guy that he lost. Right? So let's say he's working with something that's worth 100 dinarim, and originally he loses 50, and then he gets the gain back, but he gains 50, and now he has 100 in his hands like he originally. So lo matzi amrale, dare mehayach seder bahadai. He can't tell the guy when it comes to the split that you should share with me the loss originally. So if you share with me the loss originally, that means, in other words, that means you lost 25 at that moment, and then when I gain back to 50, I gain back 2/3 of that, and you gain back 1/3 of that, and therefore you're at a loss. Which I think is, I don't know what the havmina would be, because I guess you have a certain point in time you go by when the contract's over. I'm going to work until X period of time. And then that's when we do the chalukah. So he says here, you can't go back and say that you lost at the moment of the loss. That's when we're going to stop it. You share in the losses. You share 50%, and therefore you lost 25. And then when I gain back to 50, you're only getting a third of that, and I'm getting 2/3 of that. You can't do that. Mishum the amrale, because
game of the system.
Yeah, basically. Mishum the amrale. It's almost like a hedge fund over here. The reason why you were toreach so hard to gain back what was lost, you don't want to be known as the fund who has a down year. You don't want to be the down. You're not going to get money next time. So you worked so hard to gain back the money in order to avoid a loss. So you can't pin the loss on me now because you don't want a loss. The whole reason why you did this is to avoid a loss. Right.
Well, if the deal's not over,
yeah, I agree with you.
You can't say mid deal, I'm losing.
I agree with you.
Over till it's over.
I agree with you. Maybe it's before the deal's over. Maybe it's after the deal's over. I agree with you.
I don't understand.
But Amar Rava, and Rava says, Hani bei trei da avid iski b'hadei adadi. See, two people accepted schora on behalf of as the sweat. There's three partners here. One guy is the money, and two guys are going to work. Right? V'revach. Now they profited. V'amar lechad l'chavri. One guy just wants to cash out. One of the worker guys, he told, let's now split the profit amongst us now. Let's cash out. So the second guy can say, you know what? I don't want to. There's an uptick in the market. I want to continue keep the principal and keep all profit into the principal, and we can get more. So dinu hu d'ma'akev, because like you said, it hasn't come to time. It's not the contract end date. It's not the, so you keep going. Now, I Amrulay, now what happens? Amrulay, because he said to him, let's say he said once says to his friend, Havli palga de ravcha. You know what? Just give me my percentage of the profit. I want my percentage of the profit. So Amrulay, the guy can say to him, no, ravcha lekarna mishtabe. You can't. The profit is meshubad to the keren. Because basically, the more money we have in here, the more money, just rate go up, we'll make more. But I Amrulay, and if the guy says, okay, fine. So Havli palga ravcha palga karna. Give me half of my profit and half of the keren portion. So therefore, I'm taking my profit along with the Karen, so it's nothing's Meshubad. Amrulay, no. Iska lahadadi Meshubad. It's all one part of the Iska. It's all one part of the money. They're Meshubad to each other. And if we split now, the possibility exists that I may lose going forward. And then I'm going to have to pay. I'm going to have to go back, I guess, and get the money from you to pay the losses. And I don't have to deal with you to go back and get the money from you. There's no guarantee to go up, keep all the money in together. The Amrulay, if the guy says, Niflo Grafchov and Niflo Karna, so don't give me my portion and of everything. I guess, let's split the Karen and the, what's the difference before? Yeah. Havli Palga Grafchov and Palga Karna. And here he says, Niflog Rachov and Niflog Karna. Let's split it. Give me my portion of the profit and my portion of the Karen. The Matlach Pseidu Darina Bahadach. And if there is a loss, I'm contracting right now. I'll pay you back. So Amrulay says, no, he doesn't have to. I don't have to listen to that. Amrulay, lo, Mazala de Beitrei Adif. No, it's better to have two people involved than one person involved. I'm sure I don't know how that works, but there's, you know, sometimes the mazel, or maybe the work, you can do your share and I do my share, it'll be better for us, we'll make more money with all the money and both of us working. That's why we went to the deal to begin with.
I'm sorry, there were two investors in the same room?
I don't know what would be two investors. I'm okay, so over here is one investor and two workers. Two investors are silent. They don't have control over the investment.
Well, if they work in tandem, why not?
No, you're working in tandem here is the two people who are doing the sweat. The idea here is that one person gives the money and two people are the sweat. If you have two people giving the money and one person being the sweat, then it's only that guy who has the money and he can't back out either until after the day's it's over. All right, next Mishnah. Back to the dinam of sharecropping and harichus. And we had all this before the iska because I'm not exactly sure how we got into that. Okay. Hamekabel sadem echavero. So someone is a makabel asada mechavero, and based on what we saw in the Gemara before, each of the Mishnayos now only applies either to a charichus or kablanus, which is arisa. So here, Rashi says, to talk about over here is we're talking about a chocher. Someone who's a chocher, again, is that a set amount, whether he grows it or not, he owes. So a makabel asada mechavero, velo ratzel anakish. He doesn't want to weed the field. He wants to just go plant without weeding the field first. Amrlo, and the chocher says to the Baal Sada, Ma ichbaslat, why do you care whether or not I weed the field or not? At the end of the day, we have a contract how much I have to give you. I will get you that amount. Whether it's from here, whether it's from there, whether it's money, I'm going to get you. Why do you care whether I weed the field or not? So the Gemara said, Mishnah says, Ain't shomim lo, we don't listen to this chocher, and he has to weed the field. The Baal Sada can say to the chocher, tomorrow you're going to leave the field, you'll be done, or today you're just going to give me the cash. And I'm going to have this field full of weeds. Part of the reason why I hired you was to weed the field. You're just going to give me the money, I could have just asked you to give me money. Now, what ends up happening is now I have a weedy field. Next time I'm going to have a problem. Who's going to come to my field now that's overgrown? It's overgrown with weeds? Take care of the problem now. So, that's part of the deal. So, I Amrulay. Now, the Gemara basically has a din of the Mishnah in mind, and he gives another more reasons why you can deny this claim of the Chocher. I Amrulay lebasar hachi karivnala. If the Chocher says, after I harvest the Tvua, then I will be Chorish, I'll plow the field, and via the plowing, I guess I'll turn upside down all the weeds, and I'll get the weeds out by plowing it. Amrulay, the Baal Sada can say to him, no, chitim al yisaba'ina. I want you to weed the field first. That's supposed to do, is weed the field first, then I can get stronger produce. The assumption being is that if the wheat is sharing the field with the weeds are going to sort of sap some of the strength of the from the field, and you'll have a weaker product. So the Amrulay, what's the big deal? Zavina la chite mishuka. All right, so you don't get the strongest wheat. I'll go buy you. I'm a chocher, so I'll just go buy you. I'll just go buy good wheat from the field. Amrale, you can say to him, no, chika da arba ini. I want my own stuff. I want my own chitim. I don't. In other words, there is something of having your own. There's something, like it says somewhere else, it's that guy wants a kav shalo yosem etish kav shal chaver. A person wants his own thing. Well, you want to make your own money. You want to make your own, you want it to be yours. He doesn't want to get it from the field. The Amar Lev, the Chochel, then says to him, Minakshon alachshir minaseich. What I'll do is, okay, I'll weed the field just in the amount of where I can then grow product to equal the amount that I need to give you. So let's say if I only have to weed half the field, and I have half the field, he says, you know what, I don't want to do that, because Amrele, the guy can say back to him, Ka minasav shem raila arai. At the end of the day, then you will leave my field with a bad name, because it's still going to be an unweeded field. If I want to sell it, I'm going to get less money. If I want to try to get an aris next time, or a chocher next time, I'm going to have to do it, it's going to be more work for them, I'm going to have to lower my price. You have to do what you're supposed to do. You're hired, you weed the field. So the Gemara says, wait a second, why are you giving all these excuses? Vatnan mipnei shemalas lefana yasavim. The Mishnah gave the reason, because the guy can say, tomorrow you're going to leave, and you're going to leave me with a field full of weeds. That's why you have to weed the field. What's with all these other excuses? So, right, so the Gemara says, Ella mishum da amrele bizra de nafal nafal. Really, I think what Rashi says, where's Rashi over here? It's 1, 2, 3. It's like the fourth wide line in the Rashi. Ella mishum da amrele bizra de nafal nafal. Kol ta'ana so, enu ella shema'alas asavim l'shana hava. The whole reason is that he doesn't want to have the wheat, the grass for the next year. The ta'ana soli olam omedes, and that claim is always there. The chi amar le krivna la achar tzira, where because if he tells him that I'm going to, you know, plow it after I reap it, amar le hanhi da akarat l'sharashim, even though you're going to rip out the roots, sof sof ha'asavim shetaniach ba achshav ad sheyizru yiflo zroim la'aretz nimshach l'shana haba. What ends up happening is you're going to upturn everything, and the seeds, I guess, are going to still fall into the bottom line. Is now, no matter what you do, unless you weed the field to start with, yeah, I'm going to get stuck with weeds in my field afterwards, and that's not what I bargained for. The bargain for is that when you're hired to work my field, first you weed the field, then you plant the field or sow the field, then you plow the field, then you know go through the whole order. You're supposed to take this stuff out first. Okay, next. I think the next is talking about an aris. So what happens here is amakabel sada mechavero. Right? Rashi says amakabel sada mechavero v'lo asla. So what ends up happening? Well, it's because of aris. What happens here basically is I'm the aris, and I start planting the field, and it turns out, and I'm supposed to give you X amount. I'm supposed to give you 50%. That's the deal, 50-50. I plant the field. All of a sudden, I see stuff growing, and what's growing is very schwach, not a lot. But so I say, you know what? The amount of effort to take me now post growth, I'm going to lose money. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I don't want to now, reap it and put it into a pile and winnow it and do all this other stuff that has to be done, because it's not going to be worth my while. I'm going to get nothing out of it. I'm going to lose money I'm going to lose. My effort's going to be more than what I'm going to gain.
He says it doesn't yield.
Exactly said. It doesn't yield enough. So, right, I'm not going to go. He says, and Rashi says, I'm a kabo son of a velo asasa, right? He says, tvua elamat. He does a little bit. He doesn't want to work it anymore. It's not worth it anymore to do the work. So Makabo Sadam Chavero, Gemara says, Makabo Sadam Chavero, Ulo Asasa. It doesn't produce enough. Im Yesh Ba Kedei Lahamid Kri. If what it does produce is enough to make a pile, let's figure out what that means, then Chayev Letapoba. He has to continue going. He has to continue going all the way through. Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, my kitzba b'kri. That's a very subjective amount. What's a kitzba in the kri? A pile? A big field, but you get a bigger pile. A smaller field, you get a smaller pile. Ella, im yesh ba kidei nefila. He has to continue if it has kidei nefila. But I think Rashi says, kidei nefila is sheyochol lachzor lechzroa l'shan haba mitzvua shan hazo. If there's enough in the product now to plant for next year, it would be enough seeds to pass for next year. Then you have to continue. Seems to me. So Tana Rabbanan, learn the Brisa, Hamikabel Sadam Mechavero. Guy accepts upon his field to work his field. Again, this is kablanus, this is arisus. Lo asasa, again, it doesn't produce enough. Im yesh ba kedei lahamid kri, chayev letapo ba. Because if there's enough to create a pile, like the Tanakhama says, then you have to continue with all the next step of odos in order to get it all the way through to production. Shekach kosev lo, because this is the typical language of the arisus contract. Ani okim, right, I'll be there for the field. The agir, and I think anir, right, is anir. The anir, and I'll plow it. The ezra, and I'll seed it. The echzod, and then I'll reap it, I'll seera. The aamer, and I'll put it in the pile. The adush, and then I'll thresh it. The idri, and I guess that's something to do with the, I think that's a winnow it. A winnow it? Yeah, the inuit. The okim karya kadamach. And then I'll gather all the tzvua into a pile before you. V'tesi ad v'titul palga, and I'll take half, and you'll take half. V'tesi ad v'titul palga, you'll take half. V'ana b'mamli v'nafkus yadai palga, and me, because of the sweat on my brow, I'll take half. So basically, the whole thing is I'll put into a pile, and then I'll continue. So idea is a pile. V'kama k'dei, so that's what that is. V'kama de harot lahamib kri, and how much is considered k'dei lahamib kri? So we have to make it into an objective amount. What's the objective amount? Amar v'yosib r'chanina k'dei shetamu bo harachas. I think it's the pitchfork. If you stick the pitchfork into this pile, it'll stay and it won't fall. Sorry?
It will stand.
Right, the pitchfork will stand in there. So Ibailu. So again, the pitchfork I believe now has three prongs. So Ibailu. Rachas hayotze mehaigisa ulahaigisa. Let's say I have a pitchfork, I stick it in, it can stand, but each of the side prongs are sticking out. It's standing while just the middle one being impaled into the pile. So rach, I think that's what it means. Racha hayotze mehaigisa lahaigisa. My, what's the halacha? Is that still considered a big enough pile for him to continue working? So tashma, amar Rabbi Yavohu, lididim mefarshalim mini to Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina. To me, it was explained, or I can explain what Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina said. Kol she'ein kone shelo roa penei chama. It has to be that when the fork is put in, none of it sees the light of day. I mean, everything has to be buried inside. So in this case, if the two sides of the pitchfork are exposed, that's not going to be a big enough kree. I think that's how Rashi explains it. That's not going to be a big enough pile, and you do not, and the Aris would not have to continue, with the process. Okay, Itmar. Levi Amar Shalosian. Again, there's another. Now, there are other Amorim now. We're going to try to give an objective amount of how much this pile is. We're going to end up talking about Rabbi Yanai, the base right manager of Rabbi Yanai, and then that's continued. The Gemara's continue talking about the Bay Rabbi Yanai giving other Shiurim on things that are completely unrelated to what we're talking about now, but that's just the flow. So, Itmar, Levi Amar Shalosian. So it has to be three saw. The Bay Rabbi Yanai Amar Shalosayim, two saw. And the sasayim they mean is net of the of his expenses. Meaning it's not just a volume; it also has to be a value. It's two. It's what two saw would sell on the market minus the amount of his expenses that he put in. So that's a little bit more than two saw. Okay, it's non-hasam. Now, again, Agad Gemara mentioned to me, Rav Yanai, it wasn't bringing these other instances of measurements of shiurim that Rav Yanai explained to us. So it's non-hasam. We learned there in the Mishnah Maseches Uksin, right? It's Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav. Peritze Zesim Vanavim, the peritze of the Zesim, figure out what peritze means, Beishamai Metamim, Beishamai say they're considered foodstuffs, and therefore they can be metamim tumas ochlin, or Beishilo Metarin, Beishilo Metarin, that they cannot become tar, right? Mitarin, they cannot become tame, right? Pritze zesim, my pritze zesim, what is pritze zesim? Amar Rav Huna rishe zesim, the bad ones, the bad olives. They're not good, they're bad olives, right? Rashi says, pritze zesim, kin afarish rishoy zesim, love him, shein olam boser, they never really grow, shein bishulam nigmar olam, they'll never get to full size. So they remember this. Why are they called pritze? Why is bad equal to pritz? So Amar Rav Yosef Umakra. What's the pasuk? It says Ubene paritzi amcha yinasu lahamid chazom v'nechshalon. The sons of the wicked of your nation. Pritze amcha. That pasuk in Daniel is the wicked of your nation. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Mehacha from the following pasuk in Yecheskel. It's for holy ben paritz shofech dam. They'll give birth to a ben paritz who will be a murderer. So you see that the son of the Rasha is the paritz. So bad is paritz. Okay. V'kama. Okay, so how much is, what's considered a pruta zaysin? Meaning, how, what size is considered not, that's going to be the, a bad product? So Rabbi Elazar Amar Arba Kabin, that if you, I guess whatever the normal amount of olives that you go put in under the press at one time, and if you press them down, and only 4 kab of oil comes out, Abra Kabin L'Kora, I guess 4 kabin from one press, that if it comes less than that, that's considered that you had a bad batch. Debei Raviani Amri, that's why we have it here, Debei Raviani Amri Sasayim, it's 2, which is half, right? It only comes out 2, right? L'Kora, Velo Pligi, and they're not Cholik. Haba Asa Demali Korin Be'ula, Vahaba Asa Demali Tlasa Korin Be'ula. It depends. Sorry?
It's more according to this. Tusa is 12 kab.
Oh, right. So that one was, right. The other one was you're right. Was Arba Kabin. Tusa is more. Right, is more.
So it's 12 kab.
Right. Right. Sasayin is 12 kab. I think it's 4 kab. I think it's 4 kab for Sa.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? No, that was only 8. No. That would make it 8. So it's 6. So it's
one,
6 kab.
One saw is 6
kab. 6 kabin.
2 saws.
So you had either 4 kabin or 12 kabin.
12.
Right. So it's 12 kabin. Right. I messed up the kabin, the saw. Thank you. Velo pligi, and there's no machlokes. Ha, Rabbi Lazar, who says the shear is smaller. 4 kabin is ba'asa de ma'ile kor ba'ula. It's where you only put. It depends on the amount of olives that you put into the press at a time. So by Rabbi Yossi's, in Rabbi Lazar's place, they would only put in the basic core, in Tidakbad, a core, which is 30 saw. Vaha ba'asra damalin tlasa korim ula. And the second case is where you put in 3 core. You put 3 times the amount. So that makes sense, because you had 12 kab and 4 kab, it's 3 times the amount. It's the same amount. Okay, shkoyah for the fix. Thank you. Okay. Next. Tana Rabbanan. We learned. It's actually a Mishnah in Zavin. So Tana Rabbanan. Alu v'ilan shekocho ra, uvisocha shekocho ra tamei. So I think the case is that you have 2 people. Right? You have 2 people. One is a tamei, as a zav, and one is tahor. And they both basically climb a tree. They climb a tree, but the tree is very weak. Right? Rashi says, alu zav v'tahor li'ilan shekocho ra. It's a weak tree. They climb onto a branch that's also weak. And basically, so then we say, Tame. Rashi says, Tame ha-tahor. The tahor becomes Tame. Shekevan sha-ilan o asucha koach ra. Since they're weak, nichvefes tachtechen, it will bend due to their weight, both of them. V'kaved ha-elyon, v'kaved ha-elyon al-tachton, v'nishan alav mikochel shel elyon, u'bein zav shenishan al-tahor, u'bein tar shenishan al-zav Tame. Somehow, I think the Zav, like one's getting a piggyback ride, it looks like, and they're both climbing onto the tree, and then the tree then buckles under both of their weight. So you say that the tree is buckling because of both of them, they're somehow both merged together, and therefore it becomes Tame. Tosfos asks, I don't understand. Even if it's not weak, if he's carrying him, you have Tumas Heses. So what's going on? So Tosfos says maybe there's a guy, I don't know, maybe he's wearing a lot of clothing, so there's a chetzitza. Figure out what the metzias of the case is. So heichi dami, hope on this. So what's considered kochara? That's how we figure out how weak is it. So heichi dami ilan she kochara. So Amar the Rebbe of Yanni, Rani says kol she'ein biikaro lachok rova. Anything that doesn't have, I guess, in its stump, the ikaro is like the gez of the stump, lachok rova. I guess a circumference of a rova akav. I don't know what that means, how much that is. So, and hech, that's the Elon. And hechi dami sukha shekochara. And what's considered a branch, I guess that's weak. Amreish lokish, kol shenich beis b'chezionah. I guess if you can palm it, you can wrap your hands, if you wrap your hands around it. And that's considered weak enough that you have this issue with the tumma. Again, brought here because of the Bei Rav Yanai giving us a measurement. Next case, Tnan Hasam. There's another Mishnah where the Bei Rav Yanai is going to give us the shear. So Tnan Hasam, this is the Mishnah on the 18th parak of Oelos. Hamehalech beBeis HaPras. So just quickly, what's a Beis HaPras? Beis HaPras is a field that we know that there was a kever there, and then it was plowed up, and we're afraid that the bones were spread out all of it. So we have a chash of atzamos ha-meis. So misafik, because it may not have enough in one spot. So misafik, the chachamim said that anybody who walks there is tamei beBeis HaPras. So what happens here? A person works there. Hamehalech beBeis HaPras. Al gabe avonim sheyochol lahasit, al al adam va behema shekolchon ratame. So the guy walks across the field on either stones that sort of move, that shake, or he's on the back of a weak animal or a weak person. We still say he's tame, that the tumah, the base of pras, goes to him, even though there's no chash that he was nogeya onto anything. So again, the whole tumah of the base of pras is not ohel, it's maga. Even though here there's no chash that he touched anything, because he's either walking across stones or he's walking on being carried across the across by a person on a piggyback ride or on an animal. Nevertheless, we say that the walking on these things that are weak, it's as if you yourself caused them to move the bones, because your koach on top is causing the weakness on the bottom. You're causing that rocks to move. You're causing the animal, the person, to move or to buckle. So it's as if you're walking on top of them, because you're causing them to move. So hechidami adams kol chara. What is considered a person who is considered weak? Amreish lakish kol sherochvo va'akubosav nokshos. Basically, his knees buckle. Someone who you carry and his knees bang together. He buckled his knees. That's a and hechidami behemish kol chara. Amri debe Rav Yanai kol sherochvo matila glalim. So anyone who carries it and it defecates, because it's so heavy for him that it loses control of its bowels. Okay. Amar debe Rav Yanai. Now the Gemara is going to bring another thing about Rav Yanai. Amri debe Rav Yanai. This is not from a Mishnah. This is a Stam Rav Yanai speaking. Amar debe Rav Yanai. Litfila ulitfilin arba akabin. When it comes to davening and when it comes to tfilin, the shear is four kabin. What does that mean? Litfila mahi. What does it mean? Tfila korban four kabin. Detanya. You learned in a brisa. Hanosa masoy al ktefo vigiyas man tfila. You're carrying a burden on your shoulders, and now it came time to daven. So the problem is you have to have kavanah when you're davening. How heavy of a burden is it that you can consider it being non-burdensome, and you can keep it on your shoulders and daven? Or if it gets to a point where it's too heavy, whether you should take it off and then daven, because it'll be too heavy for you to concentrate on your tefillah. So the Gemara says, okay, Gemara says no, Rabbi Yanai says no. They say, Hanose maso tefo, v'igiyas man tefillah, if it's pachos me arba kavin, mafshilon la'acharav mispalel. If it's less than four kavin, you can throw it over your shoulder and daven. Arba kavin, if it's four kavin, because you don't want to make subjective, want everything to be objective. So arba kavin, meniach agabi karkum mispalel. If it's four kavin, then we have to put it down, and then you can daven. Litzvilin mahi, what's this idea of four kavin for litzvilin? Detanya, hayanosim masri al rosho vitilin barosho. I guess they wore tefillin all day. So he's wearing his tefillin, and he's carrying a bundle on his head as well. So im haya you tefillin rochitzos, if here's your question, I think is better. If the tefillin, I guess, is getting pressed, then asur, then you can't carry that burden on your head with the tefillin. V'im lav mutar. But if you're not going to get pressed right down because it's light, then you can wear the tefillin. V'ezem masri amru. And how heavy of it is the amount that's given to the tefillin? To the weight, b'masoi shel arba kavin. They made it an objective amount. If it's four kavin, then you can't carry it on your head with your tefillin. If it's less than four kavin, you can't carry it on your head with the tefillin. Not so nogei po us b'zman hazeh, because we don't take our tefillin outside and wear them outside. Okay. Except what? They don't really wear them outside. They put other people outside, but they're not walking around with it. They just put it on and take it off. No one walks around. They don't walk around with the tefillin. They put it on and take it off. They're not walking around with it. Right, that's a different reason. They want people to do mitzvahs. They have to puncture the holes in the sky so the shefa of the mitzvahs go up. Because the more shefa goes up, the more shefa comes down from Hashem. That's the more mitzvahs, more light. Okay. What? So, Tani, listen, as long as they don't make a chil Hashem, I'm fine with it. Tani, right? Most of the time they don't. So, Tani, Rabbi Chia says, Hamotzi zevel al rosho. So, guy's carrying Zevel, which I think is manure, it's a fertilizer, right? Al rosho, v'tfilin v'rosho, and he has tfilin on his head as well. Hare ze lo yisalkeim litstadim. He has to take the tfilin off. So don't just put the tfilin to the side of his head. V'lo yiksharem b'masnav, and don't just take them off and wrap them around your waist. Mipnei shehu noheg bahen minhag bizoyim. That's a bizoyim to tfilin, I think that's clear. Aval kosrom al zroa b'makon tfilin. What you can do is you can put them on your arm. Because if you put the tefillin sharosh, it's not a bizarre. You put the tefillin sharosh on your arm. Mishum de beishila amru. From beishila they said, afilu mitpachat shelahen asur lahaniach al rosho sheyesh bo tefillin. I think he's saying even the cloth that you would wrap the tefillin up in, you can't put that on your head while you're wearing the tefillin. The kama, right? And how heavy would that be? Amar Abaye afilu riva de riva de pumbadisa, even a quarter of the quarter of the measurement that that's used in Pumbadinja, which is a very small amount. Basically, we're talking about four cots. You can't have anything on your head while you're wearing the tefillin, according to him.
Zekah with a little bag you put it in?
I think he says here that it is a mitpachas, which is not a zekah, which is a cloth. Otherwise, it would be a bag. We put it in a bag. But he calls it a mitpachas.
This is the 16th, by the way.
A quarter of a quarter. One fourth times one fourth is a 16th. That's sort of what I said. But okay. Okay. I'm Rabbi Afila River, the river of the Publicia. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Mishnah said, my kitzma bekri, ela im yesh mukdin tefila. Remember, we had the idea that the aris, back to the Mishnah, the aris, the produce doesn't come out sufficiently. He doesn't want to work. So we start a comment that if there's a kri, and we define how much the kri is. Right? But Rabbi Yehuda says, we're talking about, depends on the size of the field, it has to be kedin tefila enough to plant the next year's produce. Vikama kedin tefila? How much is kedin tefila? How much is it? Again, this has to deal with agriculture, so I'm not really clear on what's going on here. So the common filler of Ami Amar Rabbi Yochanan Arba Sa'in. It's four sa'a of seeds, right? Likor. It's four sa'a. Yeah, likor is 30, right? Because it's 30 by 30, right? 30 sa'a. So you have to have four sa'a per kor to be able to plant the next year to get the yield. Rav Ami Amar Shmona Sa'in Likor. It's eight saw to the core. It's 8 by 30, so it's a little double the amount. If you have a field that is ready to grow a core, you have to be able to plant eight saw. It could grow eight saw in the core. Okay. Amar le'ahu sabal the Rabbi Barchama the Rabbi Baravua. Wait. So one Amar le'ahu sabal the Rabbi Chama Bar Ama the Rabbi Chama berei the Rabbi Baravua. So this elderly man said to Rabbi Chama, the son of Rabbi Baravua, Asbra lach. I'm going to explain the difference now, because we had Rabbi Ami say you have to grow four for 30, and Rabbi Ami says 8 per 30. He's going to say there's not a machlokes. I'm going to explain to you. Bishnei de Rabbi Yochanan, in the days of Rabbi Yochanan, where he only says four, have a shmat. Well, Rabbi Yochanan was the first one. Rabbi Ami Amar Rabbi Yochanan Arba son, and Rabbi Ami will delay his showing, right? So he says Bishnei de Rabbi Yochanan. Have a shmeina ara. The land was good, so therefore it was enough to have four saw to grow the base core. But b'shnei de Rabbi Ami, the ground wasn't so good. Having kish de ara, it was a weaker land, and therefore in order to grow the core, you had to have four saw. To grow the core, it wasn't enough to have four saw. You needed even eight saw to grow the produce in this base core. Okay. Tanan hasam. We learned there is a Mishnah Peya. Haruach shepizra esa omrim. So I think what happens over here, right? Let's just double check with Rashi. Haruach shepizra esa omrim. It's like the last short line of the Rashi, right? Bisadehu. So the ruach blows all the piles. The kisu es haleket shel aniyim hamefuzar basade. The ein yodei kama leket hayishal lematem in a omrim. I have a pile of leket, all right, and then the wind blows and takes my pile and blows all my stuff onto the piles of the leket. Now I have no idea how much leket is there and how much is mine, right? Rashi says, the ein yadua kama leket hayosham lematim in a omrim. So shaman also basin. Basin now has to make an estimation, because some of this stuff belongs to the aniyim, some of this stuff belongs to you, the balabayas. So they have to make an estimation. So tanan hasam, haruach shepizra esa omdim, the omrim, omdim osa, we evaluate the field. They must have some knowledge and say, this field typically would produce X amount of leket, right? And that, and nosnin laniyim. And that's what you give to the aniyim. Rabbangam, Shimon ben Gamliel omer, nosnin laniyim kidei nefila. The same shit that we had before, this kidei nefila, you give the aniyim the amount of tfua that would be needed to replant this field for the next year. Okay. V'kama k'dei nefila, how much is that? So ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Elazar, v'itim Rav Yochanan, arba kabin l'kor, before we had four saw, Here that it says Abra Kavin, which I think is a smaller amount, right? I think a Kav is less than a Sa. I think it's only 1/6. There's 6 Kavin into a Kor. So he says it's Arba Kavim Lekor. I think there was a Girsa over here, there was something with the Gra, right? The Gra previously, when it said Arba Sa'in, he changed it to Kavin to make it consistent. Right, okay? So that's what it is. So next. By Rabbi Yirmiya. So Rabbi Yirmiya asks the following question. Likor zera or likor tvua? The shear of arba, here kavim likor, is this shear for leket is kor zera? I guess it means, what does that mean? Kor zera or kor tvua? Rashi says, likor zera, lisada shezor bo kor, or lisada shelokit bo kor tvua? Is the shear going to be based on the amount that is planted, I guess, or the amount that is harvested? I'm actually sure. I'm not really clear on that. Right? He says, so in other words, I guess if kor zera is less than kor tvua, I guess you need more, this kor that we're evaluating, right? So this kor that we're evaluating, and that you need arba kavin, is it based on a kor of seeds or based on a kor of tvua? So I guess if you get a kor tvua, you might need more. I don't know. And then he says, lemapolos yad or lemapolos shvarim? Is this zriya, this planting being done by hand, or is it being done by oxen? And the assumption being is that mapolos shvarim, you need more seeds, because when the shvarim walk, they spread stuff all over the place, the stuff goes flying. So how much do you need? So tashma, so he learned, chiyasi ravin, when Rav came, Amar Rabbi Yavo, we send the name of Rabbi Yavo, Amar Rabbi Lazar, send the name of Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yochan, some say send the name of Rabbi Yochan, Arba Kavim Mekor Zera. You need the Arba Kavin of the Leket that we say, Lekor Zera. It's for the amount of seeds that you would put down in the core, I guess. That's a takeaway. Whether you need it for the amount that you would plant by hand or plant by ox, that is a takeaway. Okay, so let's do the Mishnah. Okay. Hamikabel Sada Mechavero. So I accept a field from my friend. I hear the Rashi, everyone points out that we're talking about a chocher. We're talking about a guy who says a certain set amount. A certain set amount I'm going to give you no matter what. Okay, so now, the achlo chagav, I guess you have locusts come, and they eat up all the product. O nishtefa, I guess it seems like there was a wind. The wind came and blew everything away, right? Is that what Rashi says?
Yeah.
It was nishtefa, right? Im makas medinahi, if this is something that happened across the board to all the fields, menakilo. So the choker can deduct whatever was ruined. He can deduct the amount from what he owes. He owes $100 worth, whatever, and it comes a locust and eats up so much, eats up all the fields. So too, he can menakelo certain whatever that percentage is. He can deduct that from what he owes, right? Menakelo min chachoro. But in ena makas medina, maybe just only his field got hit. A menakelo, he can't deduct min chachoro. He can't deduct it. He said that's your tough loss. It's only your thing, and you pay him the money. You can pay him the money. Rav Yehuda Omer. Im kibla hemenu b'mos benkach u'benkach einu menakelo mibechachoro. He said, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it depends. What was the deal? If the deal was I'm going to give you produce, so then if something comes and knocks off the produce, then I can deduct. But if my deal was I'm going to give you either produce or money, so the locust came and the wind came and it ruined the field, it didn't ruin your bank. You could still owe him the money. That's still the contract. You still have to pay him. You still have to give him the money. So hechidami makas medina. What is considered a makas medina? Amrav Yehuda kigon di ishaduf ruba de baga. I guess it seems to me that the wind blew and took care and knocked out most of the fields in that valley where he's. I guess there has to be some sort of town line. We can say that that's the area, that's the village, and most of the fields in that village and or that hamlet or whatever you want to call it were ruined. Ula amar. If the four fields around him, north, south, east, and west, if those fields were ruined as well, that's considered the olam is destroyed, and that's where he can be menakia. Amra ula. No, we'll stop here. Okay,
right.
We'll stop here.
Sure.
Have a good day.
Yeah.